home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Hey everybody, welcome back to Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and for the next hour, we have a fascinating program. We're going to have a lively discussion about death. I bet you didn't think that was possible, but we're going to do it. And this is the hour to be here because we're going to have best-selling author Jeff Michaels join us, and he's got a variety of insights, and I think this is a great show for a lot of reasons. Number one, and I'm going to get to the preview of what's happening the rest of the week too, but just to let you know what's happening on this show, I've had a lot of friends, and I've had several people that are very close to me recently that have had family members die, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children, things like that. And I was just going, boy, everybody's dropping like flies. And one of the books that I had the chance to read over New Year's Eve, which, by the way, inspired me to give me direction on my three-book series, which is coming out later this spring. This book is written by Jeff Michaels. And I said, you know, what I want to do on New Year's Eve is I'm going to read a book about death and dying. That was not really the intent, but that's what I ended up doing on New Year's Eve. It's called Becomes Us All. We're going to talk to Jeff Michaels in just a couple of minutes. But if you've had anybody in your life that has been near and dear to you that's passed recently, this may be the show for you because Jeff's going to give you some of his thoughts about, you know, death and dying and things like that. But also, you might get to commiserate a little bit with people who are, you know, in the same boat as you. And if you want to call in and share your experience or have questions for Jeff, you'll know him also as Tarot Jeff. He's not here to do tarot card readings tonight, but he's also been a counselor, a minister, and just an all-around great guy. He's a fantastic neighbor, by the way. The hotline for this show to call in and chat tonight is 323-657-1493. You'll press the number one on your keypad. If you don't, you're going to be like the looks like about 18 or 19 other people who are calling in and just listening on your telephone because you're probably on the 405 trying to get home at 7 o'clock. But if you don't press the number one on your keypad, I just assume you want to listen to the show from your phone, and I'm not going to bother your listening enjoyment by saying, okay, caller. And you're like, what the heck is going on? So if you want to chat, you gotta, you know, press the number one key. I'm also on Facebook, and I've also got the Blog Talk chat room opens. So if you want to jump in there and lend your voice to the conversation, we can do it that way too. We're easy. Last night on the show, we had author Chris Ando, and Chris is the author of a book called Delusions of Grandeur, and he tells some of the most entertaining stories, true stories, by the way, of living life in St. Louis and Oklahoma and in San Francisco, and we just kind of, you know, shot the you-know-what last night and had just a fun chat fest. But he does do a couple of readings from his book, which I just think are hysterical. So if you are interested in some, you know, kind of, I don't want to say catty because it's not catty, but gossipy fun stories, Delusions of Grandeur is a great book for you to pick up. Tonight, of course, Jeff. Tomorrow we have psychic Zoe Niklaus and her, we're going to call it Zoe and Friends Night, but we're going to have Doug Johnston also on. He's a psychic astrologer. So if you'd like to call in tomorrow's show, it's a special 90-minute show. You know why we're doing 90 minutes on the Wednesday show with Zoe this month? Because you get a twofer. You get a reading with Zoe, and you get a reading with Doug. So if you call in and say, tell me about this job that I want, or, you know, should I marry my baby daddy, or should I do whatever? Zoe's going to answer your question from her specialty, and then Doug will answer from his vantage point as well. So you get two different answers for the price of one, and the price is free to you. Now, the secret, though, because we get hundreds of people that call in when Zoe's a guest on the show, you need to call in early. The phone lines open at 6:45. That's 15 minutes before showtime. That lets you get into the call queue. I pre-screen your calls, and then life is good. So call in tomorrow night. Call in at 6:45, and I'll sneak you in. Tell me, you know, I was listening last night to Jeff, and now I want to get a reading with Zoe. That's cool. On Thursday's show, we've got Rated LGBT Radio with Rob Watson. He's my co-host, and we're going to be welcoming back Greg Archer. He's talking about his new web series called The You and the Me that's on YouTube. You can go watch that right now. And then on Friday, on the Friday Night Dance Party, we've got Oleg Frisch. He is a Russian TV journalist out of New York. He has got a new CD out, and it has he does a lot of duets with, he has some, you know, single songs that he sings, but he does a lot of duets, including with Gary U.S. Bonds and some other notable names. And you will want to hear Oleg's story on the Friday night dance party live at 7. And then I don't know what I'm thinking, but Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we're doing Super Gay Radio with Mr. Paul in Mass. And it's an hour of uncensored. It's really Paul who's uncensored. Paul, if you're listening to, you know what I'm talking about. I don't swear on the show, but Paul may bring up topics that are a little bit more adult in nature. So it's not for the young at heart. And with that, let's bring on our guest tonight, Mr. Jeff Michaels. And Jeff, before I turn the reins over to you, somebody pinged me the other day and says there's another SCWA meeting this Saturday. Is that true?
That is true. I don't have the details of it at my fingertips, however.
Okay. Well, I wanted to validate that with you because you and Jill are always my barometer of there's a meeting, and I'm like, I got to go.
Yeah.
So for all the writers who are in the Southern California area, this Saturday, which is March 19th, around 10 o'clock in the morning, there is the SCWA meeting at the Claim Jumper on Brookhurst in, I call it still Huntington Beach, but it's really called Fountain Valley. It's off Brookhurst on the 405. It's a little south of the 405. And come and hang out and hear a great guest speaker, get a chance to network with a lot of amazing authors published by big publishing houses, and some are self-published, and there's everything in between. But you get to network up with a lot of awesome, cool, creative folks. So come and hang out, and that starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday. There's my little plug. So, yeah. Jeff, how are you?
Good plug. It's a good plug. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Ides of March. So
what is Ides of March? I've never really understood that. I've had so many people.
I didn't get you a card, Gareth. I didn't get you an Ides of March card.
Is it a card-worthy type of thing?
It's really not. It's the day that Julius Caesar was killed. So Julius Caesar was betrayed in every step. You know, do you ever have a Caesar salad?
I like Caesar salad.
Gareth, you know that every salad can be a Caesar salad if you stab it with your fork enough? Julius Caesar humor. Honestly, where else are you going to get that, Gareth?
Only with you, Jeff. Only with you. Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for being here because, you know, you've been on the show several times before. It's always a pleasure to have you on. You always get a great response from folks. And I think one of the things that I really like about you as a guest is that you do a lot of things besides writing great books. But, you know, tonight we're here to talk about a fantastic topic, death. You know, there's only three things that are certain in life, death and taxes. And, you know, we're not here to talk about the tax man. That'll be next month.
Yeah, that was actually my lead right there. Death and taxes,
there you go.
Things. But you led quite well with that. You know, the interesting thing about it is because everybody will talk about taxes, right? But nobody wants to talk about death.
Yeah.
And why
do we have such a phobia about talking about death?
Well, because we don't understand it. Because we don't, nobody wants to think about themselves not existing any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we're afraid of, we kind of avoid. So people avoid going out at night because it's dark and they don't know what's out there, that type of a situation. If we lack knowledge of the outcome or results of an action, we can be, that can cause a lot of trepidation in our psyche. So we are never given the opportunity to talk about it. We're given mythologies about it. And, you know, and when I say mythologies, Gary, you know that I'm saying there's belief systems out there.
Right.
And the belief systems have existed for a long, long time. Belief systems are designed, mythologies are designed to answer questions that are seemingly unanswerable. So that's why we have lightning and thunder gods and you know, where does that come from? We don't know. We're just cowering in the cave, and there's this lightning strike. And so some people believe in Thor, and some people believe in Yahweh, and some people believe in Zeus. So unless you're a Roman, and then you have to believe in Jupiter.
Yeah, there are the Romans.
Yeah. So the Romans never had an original thought in their lives. They just took everybody else's thinking and codified it and made it smooth. So, but, you know,
there's
when
wrong
we're
with
trying
that.
To... Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I like the Romans, okay. The whole idea of a mythology is explain the unexplainable. And so when we come to death, it's like, well, what actually happens? when we die, and everybody's all concerned about that, and so then we make things up to make ourselves feel better. But primarily we're making things up to make the people who are still alive feel better. And it's an interesting phenomenon, because all around the world there's these different thoughts and different ways of envisioning what happens after we die, and why somebody dies, and what happens when somebody dies young. And, there's a lot of questions. And there's no real answers to them. There's no facts available to us. There's a lot of anecdotes. There's a lot of personal experiences that are interpreted in certain ways. And so that's one of the, one of the things that we deal with in our society. Western civilization, for 2,000 years or so, we've been given a dominant vision, as if there's some great clock in the sky that God is, his time just ran out, we say, when somebody dies. Mm-hmm. Oh, that person's, they punched the clock. And, especially in the 20th century and the 21st century, when we actually have time clocks, we can really start to say, as if we only had a finite amount of time and our time ran out, as if there's a bank or somebody keeping track of it someplace. The other thing that happens, and it happens more often in history than it does today, but people would say, well, God called him, or God needed another angel. And for what? What would be the reason?
Yeah, I never thought about that, Jeff.
Because what's the answer? I mean, what happens when you go to heaven in terms of Western culture? Well, you sit on a golden cloud and you play a harp. Is that what we're supposed to believe? Does that make sense to anybody? And yet that's a kind of a dominant belief system. What happens when you go to see God? Okay, and then what?
Happens if you're not musically inclined and you can't play the harp?
You probably have a clerical job in heaven at that point in time.
Right?
You probably have to stand at the pearly gates and take notes or something.
There you go. Well, that is so, until you said that tonight, and we've talked about this subject, I don't want to say a lot, but we've talked about this subject, and I've never really given it much pause before that, what happens, if you are supposed to, go to this, white fluffy cloud heaven, and we're all wearing white robes and we all play golden harps, and what do you do with your time, and that's forever. And, that sounds great compared to, being in a, a burning, rotting hell with,
there's the flip side of it, because if you weren't such a good human being, and then you're going to go and do this other thing for how long? For eternity? Which seems a bit of a stiff sentence for being a kind of a rotten person for maybe 60 or 70 years, even a life sentence on the earth has an expiration date, right?
Right.
So
I don't know. So can you do me a favor for people who might be listening for the first time? Can you give us kind of a bit of a background of who you are and how you came to think some of the things that you think about, and why you do the type of writing that you do, and how you channel it? Because I think that might be enlightening to a lot of folks. I know you and I consider you one of my best friends, but for people who are listening from around the country who are going, who is this guy? And he's talking about these things, kind of line up some of your writing credentials, so when you're speaking, it really carries a different tone or weight with the information you're sharing tonight.
Well, no pressure there, huh?
No pressure at all. None.
In my life, Garrett, I'm going to step back from the official biography spiel that sometimes you give. In my life, I've done an awful lot of things, and I've changed a lot. I've changed my mind a lot, and I've changed my course an awful lot. There was a time where I was very fundamentalist in my belief system. I believe that there might be an absolute right and absolute wrong, and kind of promoted that idea. Prior to that, I believed in nothing at all. I believed in anarchy. After that, I was kind of shell-shocked, because when you sit in judgment all the time, when your life revolves around judging other people as either with you or against you, It's psychically exhausting. And what I finally did was I sort of returned to early days when I was a kid. I always kind of felt like there was other people around me that I couldn't quite see. And you call them angels, or you call them guides, or you call them ghosts or whatever, but it seemed to me like there was more to existence than simply people walking around on the earth. So I kind of went back to that and explored that a lot. And so I would definitely say that I'm much more metaphysical at this point in my life, and I don't really see a need to ever have that change, because metaphysics is a pretty broad spectrum of thought and feeling. It's a personal experiencing of the energies around us, and everything is energy. I mean, science tells us that everything is energy. So nowadays, I focus on things that are scientific to a great degree, quantum fields and quantum physics, things like that, and how it relates to some of the mythologies that we have developed, and where's the commonalities of some of these belief systems, beliefs in science as well as beliefs in spirituality. And when I say spirituality, I really separate that from religion. Religion is people following rules. Spirituality is people experiencing the universe on a personal level. So much of my writing is metaphysical in its course, because I'm not promoting any specific belief. I'm promoting the freedom to experience life based on your personal perceptions, but also to expand your personal perceptions. And so when a person frees themselves from all of the old tapes, all of the old rules, all of, you know, everything that we were told by our school counselors, everything we were told by our ministers, everything we were told by our politicians, just break away from all of that. Just stop and look at the world. Look at how things actually work everywhere. Then you'll see that clouds are not regimented. And you'll see that waves may be regular, but they're different all the time. And you'll see that the universe doesn't support conformity. It supports diversity. And life gets different when you start to observe how things really are, rather than take people's word for how things should be. So you're asking what my bona fides are. I guess it's just a lot of years doing that and listening to other people. I've been a counselor. I've been a minister, like you said. I've worked in the past. I was privileged to work as a hospice volunteer for some time. And boy, that'll change your life to hang out with people who know that they're going to pass away, who know that they're going to die, mm-hmm. and that shifts who you are and your life very, very quickly. So I've also faced death myself, and there were moments when I kind of knew that I was on my way out. Medical science saved my life at one point in time, and I got lucky another point in time. So, you know, when you're looking down the long, dark tunnel at the bright light at the other end, which also is one of those mythologies that I was talking about before, you're looking at, okay, this is it. This is a conclusion. There's a finality to this experience that I'm having, and then there's something else beyond that. Or not. Maybe it's just a hallucination at that moment in time. Personally, I believe that there is something else beyond this life. I think that we all exist at different vibratory levels. I think everything is energy. I don't believe that we dissipate completely. The rule in science is energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. And everything is energy, including us as human beings. Now, do we continue on as an immortal soul Garrett and an immortal soul Jeff and an immortal soul Susie and Betty and Archie and Jughead, you know, well, maybe we do. But what we don't have is we don't have empirical evidence for that type of a belief. But we have these anecdotes. We have these common experiences. And so I was just talking about some of the near-death experience commonalities when I referenced the tunnel, the long tunnel. And oftentimes that's accompanied by a feeling of lightness, as if you're out of your body. It's accompanied by a vision of beings at the other end of the tunnel, oftentimes in either bathed in light or wearing garments of light or some such. A feeling of euphoria, a feeling of great disappointment when they send you back, because that's a lot of times what happens when near-death experiences are expressed. Is that then true? Or, again, was that just a trick of the brain, something that was happening at that point in time? I don't know. But there's a lot of commonality to that. I don't see a lot of people saying, yes, I had a vision of sitting on a cloud with a harp. So my experiences kind of add up to this point in time where I just said, you know, I'm not going to espouse any belief system at all. I have one for myself, but I don't proselytize, I don't evangelize, and I don't have it codified, and I'm not going to create a religion around it, because that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to experience this life at a deeper level, at a more personal level. And it takes some guts to do that. It takes some bravery on people's parts, because you have to break away then from the rest of the people that are walking kind of lockstep, the tribe that's staying in the safe zone. And so talking about death, well, that's not always a safe thing to do. And I do it a lot.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I find interesting about your books, and we're going to dive into A Day at the Beach, we're going to talk about your new book that you have out, which is How to Become the True You. We're going to talk about your death book. And, you know, I think one of the things that I find interesting about what you write about, though, Jeff, is that everything that you talk about in a way, or you describe or write in beautiful stories that really don't make the experience that we put in our head that this is not conforming to what I'm used to hearing, or this experience should be mean and nasty, or it should be really scary, or it should be this way or that way. And you write about these experiences in really beautiful ways that I think it's opened up my eyes, but I think it makes people take a look at, you know, things that we might not necessarily want to, and say, I've never thought about it this way before, or, oh, this doesn't seem to be so bad. But I think why I like your book so much and your style of writing and how you tell your stories is I resonate with the message that you're giving to people. And maybe it's, you know, the right, you know, right book at the right time mentality. I don't know. But with every book that you've written, I've read every single book, and every single one, I'm like, I get this. It makes sense to me. This book is, I think Jeff wrote this just for me. So thank you for writing books only for me, Jeff. Thank you. But that's what I get when I read your book. So I think that you are demystifying a lot of things that, you know, you do get when you're in this lockstep of this is the way it has to be. Now, you know, get back in line and don't say anything contrary to that, because, you know, that's not what everybody else is doing. So, you know, it's like all these memes that we see on Facebook about this and that and the other thing. It's like, okay, jump off that cliff, you lemming, and you'll be like everyone else. So I find you refreshing.
Well, thank you. I don't really want people to follow anything. I want them to not be afraid to try something new. Mm-hmm. And new thinking and new feelings and new thoughts. They're, like I say, it can be very scary. It's understandable. And a lot of times when I'm with a client, oftentimes what I'm doing in a reading or a consultation, whether it be just kind of life coaching that I do, or whether it's a consultation about writing or any creative project that a person has, I give the person permission to break the rules. I give the person permission to step outside of the normal things and to do something creative. Because I just feel that creativity, I mean, the universe, the source energy of the universe, call it what you will, call it God if you want to, but something began this universe, and it's creative. The universe is a creative energy, and it pushes out, and it continues to create to this day. The reason we know that is because apple trees still apple, and cats and dogs, puppy and kitten, right? We have baby things, we have seeds, we have all of this stuff, and so the universe is continuing to create on planet Earth, but out beyond the planet Earth, when we see the nebula, and we see these gaseous star birthing chambers that are going on, this is an amazingly creative energy that we are a part of. I say we are a particle of the universe. Every person here is an aspect of creative energy, of source that started everything. So when we're in a creative mode, we're in concert, we're in harmony with the universal forces. That just frees people up, and that just supplies them with so much energy, because I think that the universe then says, source energy says, look at that person being creative over there. I'm going to give them more energy because that's what I like. And so when you're in that creative flow, and you know this from your writing and from the songwriting that you do, when you're in that creative flow, you just feel the energy get inside of you and start to move you forward almost again, you know, not even of your own volition. You're just moving forward, and you're just doing the most natural things that you can do at that point in time. So,
but, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, because a lot of the people that we have on the show, Jeff, I mean, you know, we love the authors from SCWA. We try to feature as many of them as we possibly can. Gail Carline's been on, Doc Caffrey's been on. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We've got Caitlin Rother, who's going to be on next month. I'm reading her book, The No One, Then No One Can Have Her. She talked about that at a meeting a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
but I think one of the things that so many of the authors talk about, and this goes for really any creative. So, you know, you can replace the word author with fill in the widget, you know, so, you know, singer, songwriter, accountant, whatever it is that you do. But when you're in that zone and it just happens, it just flows. And we have so many of the writers that will be on the show, and they'll say, I just sit down and then the words just come to me. You know, I start writing and then the next thing I know, I've got 3,000 words that I didn't have 2 hours ago. Yeah. And I think that's the zone, you know, people get into. And I'm always amazed by that, because, you know, sometimes if you have writer's block, maybe it's just not your day to write. But so many people are saying what you're saying is that, you know, you just let that energy come. But where does that energy come from?
Well, everywhere.
Right.
It just is. It's just the energy of the universe. And when you're creating, it really doesn't matter what you're creating. When you're creating, you're in that flow. And if it's something upbeat and positive, now, I don't want to diss anybody and their writings and their genre or anything like that, but I think that sometimes when we're writing something really, really deep and dark, that maybe it doesn't come through as easily. But that's just see, that's just me. That's my experience.
Right,
people that I've talked to that write these deep, dark mystery stories and kind of horror stuff, boy, they just get into it and they just flow. But a lot of times when I read their writing, there's something positive. There's a lesson. There's a positive lesson about things, too. So,
well, Jeff, I can't even believe it. We're halfway through the show. One of the things that I love to do now is actually do a couple of commercial breaks. So I'm going to tell everybody, we're going to take a 3-minute break. You're going to hear from our friends at It Matters Radio, a shameless plug for my album, Blonde Jesus. Please go buy it today. And then for our friends at Rainbow Brew. Yeah, and so we'll be back in just a minute. So if you need a bathroom break, just turn up the speakers really loud so you can hear our sponsors, and we'll be back in 3.
Once again, we're here to discuss It Matters Radio, live talk radio at its best.
Yes, indeed. I must say my involvement was quite pleasurable.
And this is Dr. Thurston Thursday, yes, who was a guest just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Doctor, what did you talk about on your visit to It Matters Radio?
Not quite sure. You see, I'm a medium, and I used to be a large, but I lost some weight.
I see.
In my position, I communicate with spirits from the other side.
The other side of what?
Again, not sure, but I hear a voice coming through.
Excuse me. I have a few more things to say about the Watergate. Beautiful hotel, lousy service,
keep in mind, I'm not a crook.
Is this Richard Nixon?
I'm afraid I can't reveal that. However, I can reveal that the 18 minutes have been found. Yes, quiet. I like that.
Wow,
yes.
That was weird.
You think that's weird? Wait until Truman Capote tries to come through.
It Matters Radio prides itself on bringing new talent to the forefront. Music, opinion, and spoken word, with emphasis on finding the hottest indie artists from around the world, unheralded books, and important causes. We like to think of ourselves as discoverers.
Yes, I know. I like to think of myself as almost anyone that comes through. Oh, right here on our really big show.
It Matters Radio with host Monica Brinkman, co-host Kenneth Ween, and co-host Carrie Hall on Thursday evenings, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
They're not on our really big show. But tonight, Little Tupper G-Joe, the aerial photos of Kate Smith, and right here on our stage, the entire United States Naval Submarine Fleet, right here on our really big show.
It Matters Radio, Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
And the Beatles. Yes, excellent. Why?
Because it matters.
Yes, of course.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
We are back, and we're joined by author Jeff Michaels. By the way, if you are new to the show or listening for one of the recent times in the last couple of weeks, the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag is back. And you say, what the heck is that, and why are you talking about it? It is a special page that I've set up with Amazon.com where you buy so many of your books directly from them to read. And I've set it up under a couple of different categories. I've got books, music, movies, and then other stuff. Now, the other stuff is just stuff I like. But the books, music, and movies all feature guests that have been here on Rated G Radio. And a lot of times people will say, I liked when we had Jeff Michaels on the show, but I can't remember the book that he was talking about. Or, you know, you get the idea. I have put the last 2 years of guests, I have to go back and put the first two on too. So I've got the first 2 years of guests on the show right now. And if you happen to click the little prompt that says the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag is back, click here. If you click that here button, you will actually be taken to Amazon.com and you will see a page full of Jeff's books. I found the first nine that I could find to put them on there, including A Day at the Beach, which Jeff is going to talk about in just a second. And his new book that we're talking about later on, How to Become the True You, but also his book on death and dying. And that is the topic tonight, Becomes Us All. That's the new book that's out as well. So if you want to go support the cause, I'm a big fan of helping any of our indie authors, musicians, film people make their projects, you know, profitable. Let them pay rent for another month. Go buy their books, buy 10 copies, one for you, nine for your friends. And in this case, you got nine choices of Jeff's books right there on the page, on the first page of books on the Amazon swag page here. And you can just go buy all nine of them. That would really make, you know, everybody happy. So if you want to do that, please go support the cause. And a reminder for everybody who is part of SCWA, there's a meeting this Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Claim Jumper in Fountain Valley off of Brookhurst, south of the 405. Time starts around 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you want to come hang out with me and other me and meet a bunch of authors and network and meet some really cool people, that is the place to be this Saturday morning. You get a nice brunch or breakfast, you get a fantastic guest speaker, and then you get to hang out with people who actually write books. So come hang out. I'll bring you back on. We were talking about the exciting topic about dying. Where do we go from here? You've written this book called Becomes Us All. And can you tell us a little bit about this book and the stories that are included in this lively discussion of death?
Well, Becomes Us All is, I kind of describe it as a devotional. It's a smaller book than what we've been putting out. It's more metaphysical. It's not really stories. It's thoughts, little essays that run about 250 to 400 words. So it's really, really easy to read. It does sort of presuppose certain belief systems, but it's also open to interpretation. Again, there's nothing being necessarily promoted here except the fact that we all have a life here on the planet, and then we don't. Then something else happens to us. And so to appreciate life on the planet, we kind of meditate about death when we're leaving. One of the things I used to do, one of the seminars that I used to give and one of the classes that I did as well, we did what we called practice dying, and that's actually one of the chapters in the book, Becomes Us All. And in that exercise, we would meditate a little bit, and then we would get very, very quiet. And when I do these meditations, we call them guided meditations. In other words, someone is talking and kind of guiding the thoughts, not obtrusively, but it's there. And as we meditated, we would get very, very quiet, and we would start to ponder our final moments in life as if we were dying. We imagine that we're peaceful. It's bed. We're in our bed, and this is our last day on the planet. What do we eat as a last meal? What do we taste? Is there a favorite song we want to hear one more time, or a poem, or someone's voice? What's the last sound that we hear? Who's the last person standing near us? What's the last picture or color that you get to see? What is your last thought? And we bring it really down low and imagine the final beats of your heart. Imagine the last breaths that you take. And then we would get very, very quiet at that point and be very, very still. And I just let people be there for a few moments. And then we'd come back because we didn't want anybody actually dying in the class, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, bad publicity. So then you just bring it back up and say, okay, now, see, you're still alive. And this is the point of the exercise, is not to dwell on your death, but what do you want to do with your life? Because a lot of times what we get trapped into is these trivial lives of going to work and doing the same things over and over, and we don't ever get a chance to live our life. And so what do you want to do? And this is one of those things where if you consider yourself as finite, then you can start to set goals and start to clear your path from any obstacles that are keeping you from what you actually want to do, want to be. So, personal exercise, and you can do it yourself, you know, people can do it yourself themselves, and just move into that moment where you're thinking about, okay, what if this is my last moment on the planet? Because we don't know. There's so many things that can take us off planet. We could have an earthquake and you could fall in the cracks, you have tsunamis, things fall from the sky, you get a disease, you can get in a car accident. I've seen people killed in front of me by automobiles. They're gone. They're there, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to that energy? Well, see, that's one of those things that I don't know, but I have a belief system about that, and a lot of people have a belief system about it. But what we do know for a fact is we have right now, we're alive today, we're on the planet, and this is a pretty good planet to be on, and going to get us. It's going to happen to us, every single one of us. What are you going to do between this moment and that moment? Is it going to be worthy? Is it going to be worthwhile? And so, you know, back to the beginning of our conversation, you know, we were talking about how people are afraid of death. Well, facing this fear removes a lot of the fear. And so when you start to face reality regarding the finite time you've got on the planet, that really, again, that sharpens our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to celebrate life. Then we start to say, well, what do I want to do that's fun? What do I want to do that's loving, that's joyful, that's peace-inducing? And so when we do pass away, we can say, well, that was fun. And I kind of compare it to vacation. Because if you go on a two-week vacation, well, the first couple of days, you're just relaxing into the whole thing. You're getting out of your old routines. But by the end of the first week, you're thinking, oh, I've only got 1 week left. What do I want to do on vacation that I haven't
right.
done yet? And by the last day, well, you know, you got to, you know, it intensifies the energy of the vacation at that point in time. So when I talk about death, it's never a glum thing. It's never a depressing thing from my point of view. It's always, how can you celebrate being alive by understanding that things are finite?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Endless All is all about. It's, you know, it's a look at, it's a metaphysical look at death and life, and tries to give a different perspective.
So again, I think one of the things that I got out of it, and again, you, each time I read one of your books, I'm sure this is not your intent when you wrote many of them, because a lot of the books you've written before I met you. But I swear I get a life lesson out of them and then go, oh, this is why I'm supposed to read this book. But, you know, coming away from reading that, I said, you know, I really need to take a look at, you know, what's on my bucket list? What are the things that I really want to do? So your book Becomes Us All, I think for me is, you know, a way to, you know, I mean, I really did read this on New Year's Eve and said, I'm outlining three books. I'm going to do this tonight, and I'm going to have this done this year. And boy, it's going to happen. I'd been sitting around trying to figure out how to get my first book done for the last 3 years going, well, I'm just not ready to write the ending, and I don't have the ending that I like. And so, you know, it's whatever. It just kind of sits there, and it continues to sit there, and I might write on it a little bit. But you know, within 2 hours of reading your book, I'd outlined the three books. I've already started writing the chapters. And, you know, I said, this has inspired me. And I'm sure that's not really what you intended when you wrote Becomes Us All, but that's what you did for me. So
I'm really gratified to hear that, Garrett, because it sort of is what I intend with all of my books, with everything that I write, is that people get into that creative moment. And you say inspired, the book inspired you. Well, I was inspired to write it, and when we talk about that word inspiration,
mm-hmm.
spiros is spirit. And so when we're inspired, we're in spirit, and we're feeling the spirit of creativity at that moment in time. And again, I'm not assigning a particular god to anything here. I'm just saying that the universe is creative energy. And so when we're inspired, whew, that just...
There we go. That's been some heavy talk.
You know? Right? You got touched. You got touched by inspiration, by being in the spirit.
Well, you're one of my favorite authors, so I can say without hesitation that and this is a non-paid endorsement. You think we're on the Home Shopping Network tonight? You got to call in. We only got 12 copies left. But this is a non-paid endorsement. I just really like your writing, Jeff. So thank you for doing what you do. Let's switch gears just a little bit. We've got about 10-12 minutes left before we're going to get the show wrapped up here. Let's talk about some of your other books. What have been some really popular titles that your fans love to read and give you feedback on?
Well, I've been getting good feedback off of Toss's Path, which is volume one of a fantasy trilogy, and so that's been very gratifying. But the book that's probably the most popular and the most accessible, it's not metaphysical, well, it is, but it's more stories, is A Day at the Beach and Other Brief Diversions. So, and in there, I have a couple of stories about death and dying. So you know, the joke is I'm either writing about Disney or death, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot to write on them.
Yeah, there's a lot of intertwining there. But again, my point in some of these stories, for example, in Day at the Beach, there's a pretty much my favorite story is called In the Meat. And it sort of deconstructs the idea of heaven and reincarnation. And it gives the main characters a reason for what happens after and before life incarnate. So I think it's I like it. I think it's a sweet story, and I think it's a funny story, and it's kind of how we can be better on the earth. When I say in the meat, that's what incarnate actually means. Carnate being meat, right? So when we're incarnate, it's we're in the meat. And that's what the story is all about, except that the characters are not in the meat and throughout the story. So,
how do your stories?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we included, there was one that we republished the book a year or so ago. And I included another one called Last Words. And I really like this one a lot, too. And it never fails to evoke a kind of a pleasant melancholy in people, because it's about a couple who leave a party and they're involved in an accident. And we never really get to know them except through the perceptions of the people that remain on the planet. And so the effect of their accident, their passing has on their friends is explored. And we see that the last words that the couple expressed before they left the party and ultimately the earth have a very profound effect on the group, friends and family. So, which one of the things that I tell people a lot is do not waste your words. And usually what I mean is don't get into worthless arguments. But with this story, I also kind of mean make your words count. Make your words meaningful. Don't say worthless things. Don't just be repeating the same words over and over or say trivial things. Think about what you're going to say. Think about who you're talking to. How can you make somebody's life better by just saying something nice?
You had a great story that you told me a couple of weeks ago about your experience going to the bank.
Going to the bank. I have a lot of stories, Gary.
This story, the crazy driver and the dog.
I'm blanking out. I don't know what's funny.
Okay, so let me set this up. So
Go ahead.
This is my neighbor. So we're meeting out in the alley because that's how neighbors meet in Huntington Beach. That's where you go and park your cars and drive into the garages. And he says, "Oh my gosh, you know, Jill and I just got back from going to the bank, and on the way there was this guy who was just screaming and yelling profanities in the back of his car. You could tell he was really agitated. And then who do I run into at the bank?
Oh, that fellow. Yes. I remember that. So, I remember now.
To me, that was a perfect example of how you're looking for the right words to use, and how you turned around somebody's life or turned around their day just from that.
Sure. He, and this fellow was very agitated. He's walking down the street. He's just really upset. The dog thing was a different thing.
Oh, it's a different. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. But what was happening was this man was angry, and he's out walking down the street, and he's screaming obscenities about somebody, and there's nobody else there, you know. And in Huntington Beach, this happens fairly frequently, and you see people on the street, and so as Jill and I are walking to the bank, we're just like, oh, this guy walking down the same street, so we kind of maneuvered ourselves so that we didn't have to encounter the fellow. Now we get to the bank and we're inside the bank, and guess who walks in the bank? The same guy. And now you can be afraid of people, or I turned and I said, "Good morning. How are you today?" And I gave him the best smile I could possibly give him, because even no matter what happened after that, at least somebody said good morning to him, and at least somebody gave him a good smile.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of launched into his little diatribe at that point in time, and he wasn't loud, he wasn't, you know, but he was clearly agitated. And suddenly I knew a lot about this guy. I knew where he was from, and because he just went into it. And I just kept smiling, and I kept talking to him calm and just asking him questions. And
because it's a finite time that I'm going to be involved with the man. We're in the bank, we're in line, and as soon as the bank teller calls us up, then my time with him is complete.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was an altercation outside. This is where the dog comes in. The dog got scared. He was tied to a metal chair at an outdoor cafe. Something spooked the dog, and he took off running. And the chair was following him, and so he was scaring the dog, who was already scared. And the man was running after the dog, and the dog broke its leash and got away. And the guy didn't know what to do because there's the chair and there's all this stuff going on. And I went, I said, excuse me, and I went out. I said, you go get your dog. I'll take care of everything else. At that point in time, I take the chair and back, and I kind of recover the dog's broken leash, and people were just, they didn't know what to do. I give a chair back to the restaurant, to the cafe, and of course, the fellow with the dog is long gone. The dog is long gone. And all of a sudden, I think, oh, I didn't get this chance to wrap up with this other fellow, the fellow that was angry. Well, he was standing a little further down the block, and he walks up, he says, I just want to say thank you, and God bless you, because that was the best thing that happened to me all day, was somebody said something nice to me. And then you went off and you helped somebody else. And so when I tell these stories, Garrett, it's not like, oh, look how good I am, right? It's like, look how easy it is to change somebody's life with mm-hmm. a few words.
Yeah.
Just a level of kindness. And we don't see this a lot on TV. We don't see this in our politicians right now, certainly. And so where is this going to come from? How are we going to make this world better? Is it by grabbing at people and trying to grab everything from people and trying to acquire everybody else's assets for ourselves? Or is it by just looking them in the eye and just saying, you know what, you're struggling, I'm struggling too. The world can be a difficult place, but it can also be a really beautiful place, and we can make it better by just being nice to each other while we're here on the planet. So, yeah, that story.
Great story. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so, it turns out he's a real nice guy. He just had a bad, bad, bad day, you know. So.
Well, you know, haven't we all had, you've encountered me when I've had some bad days before.
Yeah.
I know that's a truth. And it is amazing what a kind word from somebody just out of the blue will do to turn your day around. Even if you want to be miserable right back at them, I think unfortunately for you, if you choose to be in a bad mood and somebody is nice to you, you know, you might have rubbed off poorly on them, but I think subconsciously that does kind of go, oh. And you have that moment of realization that, okay, you know, life is really not as bad as I think it might be.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about acts of kindness sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. Be random in your acts of kindness, but also be kind on purpose sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look for a place that you can be kind. You know, we see people, we have a mailman, and you have him too. And, you know, he's not a bad guy. He's just a mailman. And he's kind of put upon sometimes. And he kind of makes mistakes sometimes and the whole thing. But around the holiday season, we were getting a lot of packages. And he was doing a lot of extra work for us. And so we gave him a Starbucks card. And this is really simple stuff, you know. But we didn't just give him like a $5 Starbucks card. We gave him a bigger Starbucks card than that. Oh, my gosh, he sent us a nice letter. He says, thank you so much. You guys are always so polite to me whenever I deliver the mail. You're always nice to me. And, you know, here's a guy who's just doing his job. He's just walking mm-hmm. around. He's doing a vital service for everybody. And how often does he ever get thanked?
So yeah, it's probably not much.
Moments, right. It's just a simple moments of gratitude that we can offer people. And so,
I think it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, we're talking about death and dying. Before you die,
do something nice.
Do something nice. Be grateful for being alive, and be grateful for being on this planet. So,
so what are you working on right now?
Oh, second and third book in the trilogy for Tassa. I've got some more short stories started. We talked about reading one tonight, but I don't think we got time now. Angel of Reality, so which is. You know, again, I stick with I like to be a little humorous. I like to be a little offbeat. I like my short stories to take people by surprise, and yet leave them feeling better about themselves. We had one of our reviews. Young woman said that after reading some of my stories, she felt better about herself. And I just thought that was one of the nicest compliments I could ever possibly receive. Mm-hmm. Because then the writing has had its good effect. It made people feel good. People feel validated.
I love that. So everybody, we've had Jeff Michaels as our VIP guest star tonight. He's got a bunch of new books out. They're all on my Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page on Amazon. You can get there simply by clicking here on the show page where it says click here to order the music, books, and movies you've heard about on the show from the artists themselves. It'll take you right there, and you can buy all of Jeff's books tonight. Again, buy 10 of each. You keep one, and then 9 you give away as gifts, and you'll be the most popular person on your friends and family's list at Christmas time or whatever holidays you like to celebrate at the end of the year. I encourage you to go do that. Also, are you and Jill going to SCWA on Saturday?
We are undecided. We want to go. We do have some other obligations and may have to take care of that morning.
Okay. Well,
as of right now, we can't say that we're planning on it because we're not, but we are trying to plan it. So.
Okay, there we go. So I'm trying to plan it also. So if you have a chance to go out and hang out at the Claim Jumper on Brookhurst in Fountain Valley at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, that's SCWA, Southern California Writers Association. I think I have that right, but you'll get a chance
that's
to hang
right.
out with a bunch of really talented people. You hear a great guest speaker. You get fed, and you get to network with people who are being creative like yourself. And with that, I'm going to end the show with a little preview of the album version of my new single, which is going to be released this week on iTunes, called Sweat and Testified. This is the album version, the version that is blowing up SoundCloud in the last week. I didn't even tell anybody about it, but it's got over 300,000 hits on my SoundCloud. You can go to Garrett Miller on SoundCloud and find the remix version. That is the official single we're releasing this week on iTunes, but you can hear it there first on SoundCloud. It's going to hit Spotify next week as well. So here's a little Sweat and Testify, and we'll see you live on Wednesday at 7 with Zoe Niklaus and Doug Johnston, our psychic astrologers and psychic mediums. So if you want to call in tomorrow night, call in at 6:45 so we can get your call answered. And we'll see you live tomorrow. Don't drive distracted. Thanks for being here.
Sunday school choir. Saying too much like an auctioneer chant. Sirens are here to put out your rant. Sweat and testify.
been listening to
Rated G Radio.